People who have lost the ability to move or speak may soon have a new option, a surgically implanted device that links their brain to a computer.
Imagine the joy of connecting with your loved ones, browsing the web, or even playing games using only your thoughts.
That clip comes from Elon Musk's company Neuralink. It's the most visible player in the field of brain-computer interfaces. But NPR's John Hamilton reports that groups with less fame and more experience appear closer to actually marketing a device.
Neuralink went viral in early 2024 thanks to a man named Nolan Arbaugh. A diving accident had paralyzed him from the shoulders down. At 29, Arbaugh became the first person to get a Neuralink device. A robot threaded more than 1,000 electrodes into his brain's motor cortex. Then, human surgeons installed a wireless interface about the size of a quarter in his skull. A few weeks later, Arbaugh was on stage, talking about moving a computer cursor.
It's freaking wild. When I first moved it just by thinking, it blew my mind for like a day. Like, I just could not wrap my head around it.
A video of Arbaugh has attracted more than 25 million views on Musk's social media platform X. But the success was tempered by news that some of the electrodes in Arbaugh's brain had moved, making the device less sensitive. Since then, Neuralink has implanted its device in 6 other people, but details are scant and the company didn't respond to requests for an interview. Brain scientists note that while Neuralink's surgical robots and wireless electronics are new, using thoughts to move a cursor isn't. Dr. Lee Hochberg of Brown University and Massachusetts General Hospital was part of a team that pioneered the approach decades ago.
So June of 2004 was our first incredible participant in the study.
That participant was Matt Nagel, a man who was living with paralysis after being stabbed in the neck. Hochberg's team linked Nagel's brain to a computer using old-fashioned wires that passed through his skull. A video shows him working with Abe Kaplan, a researcher.
What do you want to do first?
I'm going to open my email first.
Okay.
You're going to open the first one.
Hochberg says the device Nagel used, called BrainGate, showed the technology's potential.
Moving that cursor on the screen just by thinking about the movement of his own hand, it was exactly what was supposed to happen. And even for all of us that were expecting it, there was a little bit of magic there.
Nagel died in 2007 of an infection unrelated to the experiment. BrainGate evolved into an academic consortium directed by Hochberg. And this year, a study showed that a BrainGate 2 device had allowed a man with ALS to speak through a computer.
I am good.
Hochberg says experiments like that one show how computer interfaces have improved. They now monitor many more neurons in more areas of the brain. And Hochberg says scientists keep finding better answers to a critical question.
How do we decode that neural activity more accurately and more consistently and more reliably?
Today, that means using artificial intelligence to recognize the neural activity associated with a person's intention to speak or pick up a bar of chocolate. Hochberg says the field has also become specialized.
There are groups that are focused on decoding speech. There are groups that are focused on control of a computer cursor, control of a tablet computer for that type of communication. There are groups that are focused on putting some information back into the brain.
One of the groups making information flow both ways is at the University of Pittsburgh. Jen Collinger, a professor there, says it isn't enough to just give people control of a prosthetic arm. They also need to feel what the limb is doing or touching.
You can't have sort of fine and dexterous motor control with visual feedback alone. You need that sense of touch in order to actually be able to respond in a natural way.
So Collinger and her colleagues have been working with BlackRock Neurotech, whose brain interface technology has been used in dozens of people. One of them is Nathan Copeland, who was paralyzed in a car accident. In 2016, Copeland famously used a robotic arm to bump fists with President Barack Obama.
Boom. Blow it up.
In 2021, Copeland was part of a study that showed how much a sense of touch improved his ability to grasp objects with his prosthetic hand.
With sensation, I could feel that the hand had made contact. I could also tell if I had a firm grip on it or not.
But Collinger says advanced features like sensory feedback aren't going to appear in the first implanted devices on the market. She says companies like BlackRock, Neuralink, Synchron, and Paradromics are testing devices that provide control of a computer cursor, much like BrainGate did more than 20 years ago.
There's been enough progress and enough sort of consistent success in these early academic trials that now companies are saying, okay, we can offer a first-generation device to people that will provide some benefit.
One of those companies is Precision Neuroscience. It was co-founded by a neurosurgeon and engineer who had previously helped start Neuralink. Precision's other co-founder is Michael Mager, the CEO. He says the company's immediate goal is a wireless device that allows a person with paralysis to easily operate a smartphone or computer.
We think about accessing news and entertainment. We think about productivity software like Microsoft Office, you know, Word, PowerPoint, Excel. If you can operate those programs as well as someone who is sort of able-bodied, it's quality of life enhancing, and it's also potentially enabling for people to go back to work.
Mager says Precision's device differs from Neuralink's because it doesn't insert its electrodes into the brain.
We have a very, very thin film that is designed to sit on the surface of the brain without penetrating into or damaging the brain.
Mager says that makes the implant safer and less invasive, which could make it easier to get approval from the Food and Drug Administration. Another company, Synchron, avoids opening the skull entirely. Its electrodes are pushed through blood vessels using technology designed to place stents in blocked arteries. Mager says all of these devices face some common challenges.
We're sampling from thousands of electrodes, thousands of times a second. And the amount of data that comes off of these systems as a result is just enormous.
Far too much to transmit through a wireless link. So companies are working on ways to reduce or compress the data. Another obstacle is the cost to conduct the sort of clinical trials required by the FDA. That will probably be hundreds of millions of dollars. Even so, Mager says, his company and several others, including Neuralink, appear to have the money and expertise to turn the brain interface concept into a marketable product.
We know it works. We know the enabling technologies that are required are now ready. And it's time to turn this academic work into a thriving industry that can make a big impact on people's lives.
Mager says that won't take another 20 years, more like two or three. And the industry is going global. Just a few weeks ago, researchers in China posted a video of a man using their first brain-computer interface. John Hamilton, NPR News.